I'm going to do another one, what I call Stories Within a Story, based on an article again called Proposition 13 is More Than a Cruel Joke. I've been studying demographics ever since I was at UCLA in the late 50s, particularly focusing on Mexicanos del Norte, which means the Mexicans north that go north of Mexico. But in English, North American, Mexican Americans. Over the years, there's just all kinds of history regarding the immigration issues and Americanization, assimilation, and just a number of things related to us, the people of Mexicanos, the Americanos, which the more I study, the more I realize we are very, very distinct. We're distinct from the Mexicans that came in more recent times, and also we have a lot in common, of course, but still, there's been a lot of reactionary from people who just don't understand that the legitimacy of our presence. And so here in California, back in the late 80s, there was a Proposition 63 that was signed by millions of voters, you know, 90% Anglo-Americans, and it was to ban Spanish. In other words, the whole question of doing business in Spanish and teaching bilingual education and all the gains that we won as a result of the civil rights movement. There was an LA Times writer by the name of Frank Del Olmo, and he was a giant in terms of protecting the rights of Mexican immigrants. Unfortunately, he died at a very, very young age. I don't believe he was even 60. He wrote an article in which he called Proposition 13 a cruel joke. He probably was right, but being that I was very involved at the time documenting all this situation and being involved in social issues, I responded to him by saying that Proposition 13 is more than a cruel joke, because the state ballot initiative that we were supposed to vote on, it was to me more than a cruel joke, and it was going to lead to some messy political and legal challenges. Because a recent California poll showed the reason it wasn't a cruel joke is because it showed that Proposition 13 was being supported by 65% of the voters, which was me. It was inevitable that it would pass. It was 3-1. So I thought, rather than to take it as a cruel joke, and to submit to the fact that it was so far ahead, that we should challenge it as much as possible, because that way we could help ourselves. So that, for example, that if we improved that by 15%, and say we got to the point where the final result was 55% to 45%, that would show that the voters were very divided, and they would make a difference during the legal and political challenges. What should we give up trying to convince people that a yes vote proposition, 63 is a vote for a return to pre-civil rights conditions. I'm talking about our civil rights, specifically the Mexican-American movement. Anyway, the year, well, the fear of other languages is, it goes back in the history of American, Americans from day one, you know, the English language, which is, you know, it's a blessing. We who would not want to become English speaking? The fear, though, of other languages is irrational, especially in California. The point of entry, after all, for newly arrived immigrants, Proposition 63 is an absurd reaction, as Frank DeLomo suggests. For Hispanics and other ethnic members, such as Asians and Filipinos and you name it, insisting that no way can we conduct business, or people cannot conduct business in their own traditional language. They're not denying that English is the main language of the country. If anything, they're embracing it and helping to make English one of the fastest growing languages in the world. The banning of Spanish and other languages from public institutions would result in dangerous constrictions of freedom and natural human rights, something a democratic society should not condone. So in the long run, if we allowed that to happen, it would result in the tyranny of the majority. So many proponents of the English-only language are not willing to listen to rational arguments. So that's why they call it some strange thing, the reaction to it. Anyway, blocking out important realities are worrisome things, rooted in a phobia of language that one does not know. And causes unnecessary cultural conflicts. That's all there is to it. So I wrote that when I was in Zavala Elementary School in Austin, Texas, in the early 1940s, just about all of us learned to say, "My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty." We sounded better than almost all the other elementary schools in the state of Texas. And we were absorbing English rapidly and developing a strong feeling of patriotism for the United States. After all, at the time, we were all absorbed in World War II and America's role in ending fascism and imperialism of the Japanese, who had betrayed us by bombing Pearl Harbor. There wasn't anybody that didn't agree we had to fight them. But this speak English only rule was actually strictly enforced in Zavala, especially in the classrooms where they would hold us captive. It became more difficult to enforce it in the hallways, and almost impossible to enforce in the playground. Sometimes the teachers gave us the impression that if they allowed us to speak Spanish in the classroom, then we'd be able to say bad things about them, and they wouldn't even have any way of knowing it. Most teachers, however, were convinced that forcing us to use English at school, we could better compete in the English-dominant society. And they were right about that. They did it out of genuine love and concern for us. However, they didn't realize that we would kind of pay the price because it instilled the idea that Spanish was an inferior language, and that had about to have negative psychological repercussions, and it surely did. For the most part, we continue to have a healthy respect for Spanish, that's understood. And we've really spoken at home and in the neighborhood. And as time passed, many of us spoke more English than Spanish, and we learned to love English. In fact, those of us that could say that we spoke English without an accent, we've made us really feel proud, you know, having a good command of it, as good as the rest of the English-speaking community. It was wonderful because, in effect, we had the freedom to become bilingual. Our parents didn't have the same opportunity to get a good education in an English-speaking situation or in a Spanish educational setting. They were denied the right to vote, and since they couldn't read English, what made it worse, that they had to pay, they would have to pay a poll tax. So that was absurd, but well worth remembering at this point, because Proposition 13 aimed at diminishing the rights that we have won. For this reason, it's difficult to understand how also Afro-Americans, the black voters, they were favoring Proposition 13 2-1, which meant that we could make an impact there and have them realize that when it came to languages and enforcing one to speak English, they should really identify, you know, 100% since they're the original people that came here as slaves from Africa, were forced to forget their own language or just anyway. But and in effect, you know, now that I'm talking today, that's really what happened. We were able to make it come out a very respectable exercise of voting power, and truly impossible to understand that voters also of Latin American descent were divided too, which was ridiculous. I mean, they were saying yes, it's all right to just erase our heritage of the Spanish language. So it just was pretty ridiculous. Yeah, Frank Del Olmo, I apologize. It was a cruel attempt, a cruel joke, trying to deny us the right to be bilingual.